Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Devin Vaneau.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, and calling at you from the digs here at Glen Burnie, Maryland. Welcome out to all our fans in the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. Speaking of the Commonwealth of Virginia...
I'm here.
All right. Here's my co-host, Anna Knox.
Good evening, everyone.
And we are here once again to summarize for you, as only we can, the goings-on in Caps hockey for the past week.
And, which is not good. Really not good.
Going to be one of those times where there's not a whole lot of good to be said, not a whole lot of smiles, because losing...
But we're not going to be the Debbie Downers of hockey fans.
No, we're not. There's going to be... We'll try to look for the bright spots where they can be had, but...
Okay.
As we all know, losing ain't so ha-ha funny when so much is expected.
True.
So...
See, now we started off the show with an agreement, so now it's almost like you jinxed it. Okay.
Oh, well, it'll get something. Well, you know this show. Something will get violated along the way. That's just the nature of how things are between us.
I hope so. But okay, let's go. Yeah, it's been a long day, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I know. Well, you now that you've had to tell me your show, like, you one-upped my story when I was like trying to say that I had to sit in a 7.5 hour that went the full 7.5 hours on a reading program that probably isn't going to work for my students, and I have to go back tomorrow, and it's taking me over an hour to get there because George Mason is back with their classes, and so all the students are affecting the traffic to Springfield. For me, so guess who's not happy?
Yeah, well, I won't go in details because I can't reveal too much about a certain part of my job. But let's just say
it's so secretive.
Well,
I don't know you at all.
Yes, you do. Okay. But. Oh God, just I as some of you may know, and there are a lot of listeners who are coworkers. Basically, you name it, it broke today, and that can be quite traumatic for people who take calls for a living from people who expect things to work all the time. And yeah, it just got rather unpleasant at times, shall we
and
say.
And you didn't use your soothing DJ voice to calm the callers?
I tried to.
And it didn't work.
Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
All right.
But, yeah, that's not my...
Yeah, I mean, this Monday sucked.
It did.
Put it out there. If you need to censor me, it was, yeah.
Well, there was one bright spot, I understand. It didn't happen today, but I understand there's an addition to your family.
There is. And I'm totally in love. Oh my goodness. We have decided, we'll backtrack to... Ian and I, before we had kids, took in a dog that had been abused by this asshole. Like, who abuses a dog? Who abuses animals? Like, I have no problem running you over with my car because you suck. And so we took this 4-year-old golden retriever. Her name was Emma, and she was totally neurotic, but she was the most amazing dog. And then I found out I was pregnant, and, you know, she took, you know, oh, she was amazing. And then if you've ever owned animals and had to put them down, it is heart-wrenching. It is.
Absolutely.
It's seriously like, oh, my God. So it took me a while to feel like I needed to have a dog again. But then we decided to adopt this 1-year-old, absolutely adorable shepherd mix. And she was found on the side of the road. Again, asshole, I'll run you over with my car. Who leaves a dog on the side of the road? And, you know, super skittish and whatever. And we took her home yesterday. And we changed her name because her name was Wanda. Like, again, who does that to a dog? And we chose the name Bella. And she is amazing. She's awesome. Although I had to get up at 5:30 a.m. to walk her this morning, which I'm like, what the hell? But it was cool because she was wagging her tail and she had a good old time. And I'm like, you know what? You go and do your thing. So, yes, the Knox household has now become 5. And it's, well, I hope you guys will meet her soon. I know you're a cat person, so that kind of, ew.
Well, and as I told you, I have no problem with dogs whatsoever.
But you prefer cats. Like, who says that?
Lots of people.
No, they don't, really. Because dogs are like...
We're going to start with the nose again.
The goofy, super excited that you're home... Like, love you unconditionally, can't live without you. And cats are like, you're back. I hate you.
We're not going to get into this.
But anyways, yeah, we adopted a dog. And yes, so Bella Knox. So she's adorable. And I've become one of those sappy parents that has taken like 10,000 pictures of her. But I love her. So, yeah, so thank you for bringing that up. So that was my weekend.
Well, see, I know how you hate my singing, so I was going to ask the musical question, how much was that doggy on the side of the road?
And I would have had the same response. God, no. So, no. You'll meet her at some point, and then maybe...
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, you will. So, and she's awesome, so...
Previews of coming attractions.
Are we going to talk about it next month or no?
No, not just yet. Let's not let the Bella out of the bag just yet. I love that name, though. I mean, it's...
Oh, thanks.
My stepdaughter's restaurant where she works part-time is Bella Napoli. So that's why.
That's adorable. That's one of them. Yeah, and then what did you say yesterday that you like the Italian-German name?
Oh, yes. I absolutely love that. Italian name for a part German shepherd.
Right.
And that's just absolutely adorable to me.
And that's very much me. Not the adorable part. The the quirky part. So yeah, so she is a sweetheart, and she has, I don't know, she just finds these random little items and carries them around the house and like, what, do your thing. You were abused and left on the side of the road. You go ahead and have that sock and have a good time.
Well, that's great that you rescued her. And,
yes, thank you.
And that's one less poor thing walking around not knowing what's going to happen next. So that's
exactly
that's really fantastic. It really
and
is.
She was a thank you. She was a little a little put off when we brought her home, because it was like, oh, so exciting. And I was like, holy shit, like the Caps are playing right now and it's on NBC. So I'm like, watch it upstairs and the dog will be here. And I had to keep a lot of my, what do we want to call them? Anna moments, my, I don't know what you want to call it, my shout outs, whatever, profanity, love, to a minimal, because
didn't want to startle her, didn't want to scare her.
Yeah. No, mind you, I've got like a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old and they're like, yeah, we're not allowed to say that, but mom can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I don't want to startle the pup. They're like, yeah, okay, thanks. So yeah, so we can talk about those games. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, the Caps, but I'm...
Oh, well, I am.
I know.
I will. I have no problem with that.
I know.
All right, so let's start with... Let's see, where did we leave off at? Okay, so we had Beagle the Hero
Thursday night? Friday night.
The Friday, actually the Friday before...
Right. Yeah, right. Sorry.
And
that's
then,
what I
meant. Yeah. And then, okay. So you had the road home back to back with the Devils and the Canadiens. Okay. So the Devils game. Boy. That was another one that was hard to watch.
I mean, seriously.
So,
like, I don't usually go into a lot of games. A lot, because it's whether it's a superstition or if it's just I get cautious or whatever else. And even though they have over like 84 games a season, but I don't go into a lot of games.
82.
Really?
Sorry, I gotta correct you.
I know, because if not, if I just kept saying 84, like how would you be like having a moment, just obsessing over the fact that I was wrong? So 82 games. But I still kind of go into it. I never go into a game thinking, watching a game, not that I'm playing. We've got this. But I have to admit, when I kind of looked at like, you know what? This game against the Devils is going to be good. And we should have a good chance. And I don't know who the hell was on the ice that night. And if I, you know, again, here comes that whole like, oh, typical, here it comes. The Caps can't win after their winter break. I was like, oh, it's one game. Let it go. And here we are now 3 games later.
Well, we'll talk about the break and long layoffs in a little while. But getting back to this game, if not for Brett Connolly, I don't know how they would have even stayed together because, okay, so let's look at the vitals here. Okay. So one always vital statistic, shots on goal. The New Jersey Devils in 3+ periods of play, cause this thing went to OT, not very long into OT, but it did go into OT, put out 32 shots. You want to know how many the Washington Capitals got in the same amount of play?
I'm afraid to ask, but tell me, Mr. Stats.
Oh, yeah. 19.
Ouch.
19. 60 minutes of play. You put out 19 shots. What does that tell you, Madam Mermaid Coach?
They're still on vacation.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, okay. Exactly my thoughts.
I mean,
you know
really?
What? You know what, Anna? I'm going to tell you something right. I'm going to tell you something right now. You, I'm trying to get you fired up. So
you're fired up.
I am.
All right,
but
all right.
I want you to get fired up too. And so, okay. To give you a little bit more incentive, I will promise you, you let it loose. I don't care. I will not censor you this week at all.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't care.
Okay.
You let it fly. You see something that you need to, you know, let it go. It's just fire away. I don't care this week.
Okay.
But you're asking
from a coach's point of view on this one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But here's the thing. This isn't anything new. They do this break every season. So part of it's on the player. Part of it's on the coach to be like, hey, you need to get back here, you know, a day or two beforehand, or, you know, to get your shit together and whatnot. I don't know. They need to get back on track. And if I was coaching, the first thing I would say is to not even look at social media, because you've got all those douchebag fans out there that want to say, this is typical, Caps are done, you know, screw it, they can't get past the break, they can't get past this, they can't. Well, that's not what I believe. But I do think that the one game after your winter break and you're in the Bahamas or you're wherever having an amazing time and posting it on social media so we can all be like, wow, that looks amazing. You come back, we still expect you to do something. One game, I, as a coach, could let it slide, but I still would be a total jerk about it. Three games later, totally not acceptable.
Well, somebody pointed it out, and we're gonna refer to this a lot, but we're both members of the True Caps Fans Facebook group.
Right.
Let's just say a lot of the guys and gals there are not fans of the bye week. And again, I promise we'll talk more about that as a topic a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
And I'm trying to find, shoot.
Well, I'll go while you're looking for whomever, whatever it is that you're looking for, which is great because I think that I really love that Facebook. That group, because they're true fans and I feel like they've got a lot of awesome things to say. I will say that I walked away from these three games having a pro and a con list, very much so. And I'll say that my con list is on that, how the hell do we get back on track? Like, what is it going to take? You guys have lost three games. You have missed so many opportunities to score that I can't even, like, last night on Twitter, I've posted this before, like a meme of like, what are you waiting for? You know, and it's like, that's how I feel when I'm watching this. Like, you've got Barakowski in front of the goal. You've got Wilson in front of the goal. You've got Beagle. You've got Oshie. You've got all these things. And they're missed passes, sloppy plays, people who are like, not even in sync with each other.
You hit the nail right on the head. And
really?
That's the sentiment.
Fucking
that,
A.
And this is pretty much it, Chris Levesque, who we've had on the show, friend of the show, and who's an admin of the room. We were doing kind of a back and forth earlier today in the room, and he raised a lot of good points, a lot of which I'm going to read. But the quote I found was from Tony Olcott, and I'll read it verbatim about both the bye week and his opinion on the bye week and the Caps' overall play. So here's what he says: if a bye week is going to happen going forward, then I would like to see a team coming off a bye week having to play another team coming off a bye week. And the thing is, if not for a last-second Jay Beagle goal in their final game prior to the bye, they could be on a 5-game losing streak right now instead of 3.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, that's Tony Olcott in the true Caps fans room. And so he raises two very good points there.
Absolutely.
This bye week, if they're going to make it absolutely fair, and this is, I know I kept saying I'd proffer my opinion. This is my one soapbox moment about it. If they're going to insist on continuing this piece of crap experiment, then do it like what Tony said. Other teams, make teams that are coming off a bye week face each other.
Mm-hmm.
None of this crap where you got this team that's rolling faces a team that comes off of a 5-day layoff. That is fucking ridiculous.
I agree.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Whoever invented this should be fired. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, and I don't know why they all of a sudden they feel like they have to try to be like the friggin' NFL. But we don't need this. The league was just fine without it. They don't need this. If they're going to insist, you want to give the guys some more time, how about not cramming so many back-to-back games in the schedule?
All
right?
Absolutely.
Spread the thing out. The schedule already doesn't make any sense as it is. So spread it out a little more.
Spread the love.
My solution to that. So that's all I'm going to say about the bye week. But yeah, that was the quote I'm looking for. Now, okay, so we all know what happened in that game. If not for Brett Connolly, I don't think they would have been competitive because, as I said, 19 shots on goal.
Right.
I'm sorry, for a professional team, is not going to cut it. But
right.
Thanks to Brett Connolly, they were at least competitive. And Dmitry Orlov got the game tire that sent it into overtime. But it didn't matter because, what was it? I got to get back in here. Okay, so yeah, it didn't last very long. A lot like, my mind is wandering, but I'm not going to go there. Okay, 34 seconds into overtime, Taylor Hall scores his 17th and wins it. That's going to be a theme. Very short overtimes, as you'll see. But again, 19 shots, not going to cut it. So we move on. Next night, back home, Capital One, home cooking. Going to be good, right? No. Max Pacioretty gets 2 goals on us. John Carlson gets 1 to pull even, and Lars Eller gets the game tire. It gets the go-ahead goal. Wait a second. Okay, they got this all wrong. Okay. Sorry, I read it wrong. Montreal actually went up 3-1. Sorry. On Pacioretty's second goal. And then the Caps still had the goalie pulled. Eller pulled them within 1 with about a minute left, but they couldn't pull it out. And, I'm going to say this loud and proud. They look like Bella's droppings in this one as well.
Yeah. It was bad. It was bad. It was bad. I mean, I really, like I said, I go into these games. Like, I'll get on my little sidebar moment because I did watch a lot of football this weekend. And it was very exciting. And I am a Pats fan. I know I'm going to lose a bunch of followers, whatever, with that. But I have been for a very long time. So get over it, people. But when you're going into a game and it's, you know, like, oh, it's so close and it's good and everyone's trying and, you know, this and that and this is awesome to watch. That's great. Oh, with the Caps, I felt like they had no idea what was going on. Total miscommunication. I don't even know if I'd say so much, like I've said before, that they looked tired, because I don't think they did. I felt like they were just out of sync.
Well,
and
not to interrupt you, but there was now the shot. I'm sorry.
But I know. Go ahead.
And I'm apologizing.
Because you're fired up. I'm going to let it go.
Okay, teacher. But I just wanted to interject and say that at least the shot ratio wasn't as bad this game. They gave up 26 and put out 26. So, not good, not great, but not horrible.
Right.
So, I just wanted to point that out.
And I'm going to point out, if it's okay, I know that you didn't see the game, correct? Because you had to listen to it because you were at work.
This was a night game, so it was after my shift, so I did actually sat down and watched a good chunk of it. So yeah.
Sorry. I was thinking the Flyers game.
Yeah, that's my bad. Right. That was the matinee.
Then yes, I agree with you on what you just said. Those same comments would not carry over to the Flyers game in my opinion, but that's okay. It's okay. So I had jumped ahead because I thought you were never.
No, mind. No, that's fine. That's fine. They did on paper. It looks like they did a lot of things right. They were 1-for-3 on the power play, 15 minutes in penalties. It could have been better. You know, they're like the, as I like to say, they're like the cat that's been fed X-lax. They can't stay out of the box, but.
Isn't any hockey player out there that would want that comparison.
Well, that's why I'm laying it out there. So if they hear it, they're embarrassed by it. So
I'm embarrassed for you for saying it, but okay.
Well, that's your opinion, and you're welcome to it.
Okay.
1-for-4.
All kinds of snarky tonight.
I told you. I'm fired up about this.
You are fired up.
I can't stand this team losing.
Okay.
But yeah, 3-for-4 on the penalty kill, 1-for-3 on the power play.
Uh-huh.
So they had success going PP. see. 19 block shots. So their defense was into it.
Please.
What I say now.
Please acknowledge the fact that anybody else would say power play and not say PP, and you made it sound...
I'm reading the stat sheet. It says PP.
Yola. All right. You go. You do your thing. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but you just kind of, yeah.
So do they not go on the PP when they're a man up?
You were just setting me up for a whole bunch of really bad comeback. Okay. Letting it go. Power plays. Yeah. You go ahead.
All right. Well, okay. So like I said.
You and your pee-pee have your thing. Go ahead.
And I'll keep my thing out. Thank you very much. But yeah, like I was saying, it looked like they were doing a lot of things right on paper. Uh-huh. But overall, their play still sucked. And this will be highlighted by the comments that Christian and I made today in the room. We'll get to that, I promise. But we still got one more game to cover, and that was yesterday's matinee against the Flyers.
Uh-huh.
And that was a pretty tight game, real disappointing start. 6 minutes in, Michael Roffle, gets the opening goal, and then the captain ties it. And here's the other thing. I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, where's Ovechkin? Why isn't he playing? What's he doing? Well, you know what? He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's contributing to the offense. He's scoring and hitting. That's what he's doing.
Go back. Who is that imitation of? That was good.
What imitation?
Like, who is that fan that's talking, asking about Ovechkin?
Oh, nobody. That's just a generic
That's just a generic Gill moment.
That's just a generic idiot fan that says, oh, Ovechkin's all the whole problem of the team.
Okay.
That's a generic blockhead fan that thinks that. That's nobody. Gotcha. It's nobody in particular.
Okay. All right.
So it remains tied. So he ties it in the dying seconds of the second period. And then they go to OT, and again, it's like the, and again, my mind is wandering over to a bad place. I'm trying to think of other things that don't last. Here we go again. 27 seconds into OT. Thomas connect, Trevor, connect the dots? Konechny. Konechny scores 27 seconds into OT and ends it in another loss. Shots on goal totals, 28 for the good guys, 23 for the Flyers. Face-off percentage, not as good, but competitive, 46 to 53 to the bad. Power play was 1-for-3. The power play.
The what?
The power play.
Say it again.
The power play.
Okay.
So, they were 1-for-3 on the PP, again, and they severely out-hit the Flyers, 30-18. Now, in all the major defensive categories, blocks, giveaways, and takeaways, they were losers on that ledger. But overall, they still played a decent game, I thought, a much better game. But here's the and this is where we're going to get into Christian's comments. Overall, on the offensive side of the puck, way too tentative.
Oh, my God. Well, that was my thing, was that, and I'm not saying it was whether you listened to the game on the radio or you saw the game. I happened to see it when we brought this adorable adopted pup home, and I was like, oh my God, I need to rein it in a little bit. So many missed opportunities. I mean, things that you'll look at and be like, what are you waiting for? Just shoot.
Exactly.
Just do it. I mean, it literally was the most infuriating thing. But I will say, if we're going to look at a positive, one person that I did think that stood out, that caught my attention when I think he's been kind of thrown under the bus is Barkowski. And I will say number 65 was doing great. He looked good out there. Was it his best? No, but he looked fast. He looked like he wanted to be there. He was doing what he could, but again, missed opportunities, missed passes, stupid errors. But that's just not on him. I mean, that was the team as a whole.
Well,
I mean,
I'll give you that. And you mentioned Burakovsky in particular. Yes, yeah. I'll give some due to him. Only problem I had with his game was there was more clang off of his shots than you'll hear at 5 train stations. But other than that, yeah, he did look like he wanted to be out there, and he definitely upped his effort.
And I believe your text quote to me was, quote, he sure does love the Washington Post. Is that ringing a bell with you?
Oh, you're hitting all the high notes. The Washington, Washington Post ringing a bell.
Yeah. I had to have my moment because even if you and I are texting during the game and you say something like that, you have to somehow, other than the eye roll emoji, like just know, like you must type that and then feel.
The only thing better is if I could hear you groan.
That's like a common theme. Like if we had a theme song, it would be like, yeah, that would be there like no other. But I will say, okay, well, first off, so you go, you have other things to get off your chest.
Well, I wanna get to...
Because I want to refill my wine glass. And I want to be sure that when I do and you hear that in the background, that it's not going to be something that's going to cause like a big audio issue. Do I have to mute my phone?
Sure.
I will.
Okay, that's fine. Wow, we're really... ladies and gentlemen, a peek behind the curtain of the Power Play Point podcast. We're both a couple of alkies.
Yeah. You know what? I don't care. I had a really long day. It's Monday.
Go right ahead.
So I'm going to hear everything that you said, but I'm going to mute it.
Okay.
And so you're on a soapbox for like the next like 45 seconds.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to get into now, because I wanted to get his take on what he saw, just to make sure that it jibed with you and me and other observers.
Hey, Gil.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. So Skype won't let me mute. So will you just
do your thing?
Okay. So anyway, so go ahead. I was listening to what you were saying. Are you still talking about Christian?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Go.
Okay. But I just have one question.
It's white wine.
What? No, it wasn't that.
Okay.
How come you have to get a drink now? Why you gotta do that now all the time?
Because I can handle mine, unlike somebody else on the Christmas Eve episode.
You totally missed that joke.
Yeah, apparently it did.
Wine.
Okay. Oh. Oh. So one of these days, like, you'll have to pull up Doug and Wendy Weiner on
YouTube. I know who they are.
Oh, good.
We're about the same age. I know who they are.
Because that was one of the best SNL skits. Hi, Doug and Wendy Weiner. So, yeah.
Weiners. All right.
Yep. I've refilled and back to being professional.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So, yeah, as I said, Chris Levesque and I were doing a back and forth earlier in the room, and I want to get his opinion of what he's seen in these last several games. So I'm going to read you some postings he had. So he starts off, the one glaring thing that stands out on this three-game slide is the inability to put shots on net. And I quote, shots on net. You can't score if you don't shoot.
Exactly. I know I've said this before to you, and I'm not knocking your job or if you had something to do, but I almost wish you really, of all the games, could have seen yesterday's, because I felt like they're going to come out, they're going to be ready, they're playing the Flyers, like, bring it the fuck on and whatever. And then I sat there and was like, Tosh, shoot! What the hell's wrong with you? What are you waiting for? I mean, there were times that it was like, you know, one player, you know, whomever would get it and like, I'm gonna pass it. No, I'm gonna lose it to the other team. And oh man. So yeah. So I'm sorry. Does he go by Chris? Cause I keep calling him Christian cause I love that name, but.
Well, his given name's Christian. And sometimes I call him Chris. Sometimes I call him Christian. He went by both, during our conversation. So
I think he's cool. Yeah, we're all on the same page.
Yeah. I think he's cool with both. But anyway, so I said something like, yeah, you're onto something. That sounds right. I haven't been impressed with the puck movement. And he went on to say that the PP is way too predictable lately as well.
Pretty sure he didn't say PP.
I'm reading.
You're
it.
Saying that.
No. I'm looking right at it. The PP.
Right, and
is,
it means power play. Don't.
I am looking right at it. The PP is way too predictable.
Yell.
Go into the room. Go into the room and look at it. I'm reading it verbatim. I swear.
Right. But you know what it stands for.
But
so
that's what he said. That's the quote.
That's not what he said.
That is
what
he said.
The power play.
The PP is way too predictable lately as well. That's what he said.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you could hear yourself, you would be like, that just sounds wrong on so many levels. But, all right.
I wish there was another PP that would have been predictable so many years ago. But, well, we all make our beds and have to lay in them, I guess. So he goes on to say, plus the Caps have given up the first goal in each of the last three games. Totally yes. astute assessment. Yes, yep. It changes the dynamic of the game if you are asleep, are not into it, and give up the first frickin' goal. You have to be ready from the first whistle when that yep. thing when that thing goes and the puck drops. You have to I be agree. Ready from the get-go, and they were not.
I agree.
Obviously. Okay, so...
God, you are so fired up tonight. It's crazy.
Well, I have to be.
And Mrs. Blue Liner is going to be like, whoa, where'd this come from? Awesome.
Oh, she couldn't stand it anymore. She's in the kitchen right now.
Oh, I love it.
I had to get my wine.
Cheers. Cheers, my friend.
Anna says cheers. And so there it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. All the women in my life I drive to drink. Anyway.
A lot.
Anyway. So
what'd she say?
She says just a coincidence she's going to get wine. All right. So anyway, I went on to ask him because this is my biggest beef about the way it showed as far as the way the Caps are playing. This mm-hmm. was like the peak moment of my frustration. So I asked
just
him
is this Gil's climactic moment.
Not gonna go there.
Okay, but it is.
But it is. Okay. Anyway, so I asked him about yesterday's OT game. Yesterday's OT goal.
Uh-huh.
And what he thought about that. And he said, as we mentioned, again, it was a, well, I'll just quote him. Just like during the Devils game, happened way too fast, defensive/offensive breakdown that led to the goal.
Yep.
Yeah. And
that's been your frustration for a while.
Exactly. And do you know whose breakdown caused that play to even be created?
Well, because of my psychic abilities and because you're fired up and because... as you're looking for a fight, which I'm kind of going to give you and kind of just going to tease it out tonight, I'm going to go with John Carlson.
You damn Skippy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and if you go into the app and watch the replay of the goal, yes, he comes at the puck kind of namby-pamby, like, oh, I'm just going to kind of, I don't know, lean against this guy and he's just going to roll over. No. No. Konechny fought for the puck like he should have, bounced it against the wall, got around Carlson, went to the middle of the ice, and Oshie went down on one knee and tried to get in the way, but he ended up kind of partially deflecting it. And so I don't want to say I'm going to give Holtby a pass, but because I think he still could have gotten it, but that certainly did. I know what Oshie was trying to do, but it didn't help in the grand scheme of things. So that all said, though, if not for John Carlson's sloppy play at center along the boards, that never would have happened.
No, okay. And of course, I'm going to disagree with you on that right now.
Of course you are.
I am, because of when it comes to an overtime thing, I don't look at just what happened in the, 14, 28 seconds after when the OT clock starts. Prior to that, everybody was sloppy. There were missed passes, missed opportunities, and just bullshit miscommunication across all lines.
Of course there was.
So, but you're just putting the overtime goal on John Carlson, who is one, and I have said this from last week's episode and probably the weekend before, should have been chosen for an all-star to be an all-star rep, what player, how, whatever they call it, due to his fantastic year. So to put it on him, fuck no. You got to put it on, you got to look at the other players and share it. Like, and so it's actually kind of funny that you bring this up though. So, cause I don't know, maybe I'm going to go into like one of my random whirlwind mermaid moments, but deal with it.
Go for it.
I'm going to. So when I was thinking about this today, when I was supposed to be paying attention to this stupid reading program for my school, and I was like, fucking A, like this, and like literally 7.5 hours in a classroom, I was like, no wonder my kids go apeshit. So I was looking at my phone and I was looking at a couple things, and I thought to myself, you know what? This is okay. I'm getting frustrated with the team, but I'm going to only get frustrated with them for so long, because I honestly feel like what I'm tired of hearing about, and like you heard, you said the opposite earlier today about people blaming it, Ovechkin. I feel like too many people are expecting a ton from him. Like that I feel like the team needs to realize that it's not all what? Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. I'm listening.
Did you just have it sound like you had a snicker?
Nope. Not at all. I am listening.
Really?
I swear I'm not laughing.
Okay. So I'm like, now I'm going to look at this huge, like, Gil wrath. But anyways, okay, so what I was going to say was that I felt like walking away from my reading program today when I was like, I'm going to bring up these points, that I feel like that not all the focus needs to be on Ovechkin, that it needs to come on to all the players all the time. It can't just be about Holtby. It can't just be about Ovechkin, whatever. So that was my thing. And now I think I totally lost. Now I've
no,
totally
no,
lost
no.
My...
No, I lost your voice or...
No, I lost... Yeah, don't you wish? You'd be like, yeah, actually, I do. Can you still mute for a few? That'd be amazing. Merry Christmas.
I love it. Now you're all...
Now I'm totally flustered.
I wasn't going to say flustered, but yeah, that too.
Okay, but no, so here, so anyway, so you're, the point I was trying to make was that you were going to put this blame of the OT goal on Carlson not doing what he's supposed to do. And
yeah,
so
yeah, because he didn't.
I was trying to look at it differently today when I was reading up on game stats and articles and whatever, that I was like kind of tired of people putting so much pressure on Ovechkin when I feel like everybody needs to step up their game and stop putting so much focus on him. Yes, his records are phenomenal. Yes, he is, you know, he has had an amazing year and so fucking proud, like, that he's on our team. But he's not the whole team. So I really had to, like, have a moment. So, like, for you to say that about John Carlson after the year that he's had, I think sucks.
Well,
on your end.
Okay, well, that's fine. You're entitled to that opinion. What I'm saying, though, is in that one moment in time, okay, you are fighting for every single point that you can get, okay? You've already, yes, you've earned the loser point, okay, that Commissioner Gary Bettman feels that every team needs just for getting to OT, okay? But that's not enough. You have to get that second point for the win. You have to go for the win. And playing mamby-pamby defensive hockey, standing there like a friggin' glorified traffic cone, is not the way to play when you've got points on the line.
Right, but
that's
how
all
is
I'm
that,
saying.
But how is that John Carlson's fault when the previous 60 minutes prior to that, the team was off?
Okay, so you have a point, but so do I.
That he didn't step it up in OT.
Okay, if you're not going to step it up when it's sudden death, when are you?
That, so you went all Mr. Roboto again. Don't. I'm gonna find a different way to phrase that because I just totally set myself up and had a like a wine delay.
We're messing ourselves up here. But
big time.
No. I look. You have a point, but so do I. Okay, that's part of the big problem with this team. Okay, overtime, sudden death. Points are on the line. You are playing a division rival. What the hell more do you need to get it into your head? Hey, I need to take this guy's head off. I need to take the puck away from him by any means legally necessary and go for the win. Not stand there like a damn traffic cone. Not stand there.
Right. But I don't think if you looked at his stats prior to the OT, if you looked at what he did prior to that 34 seconds or whatever it was that they scored, that he's worthy of being thrown in the bus or whatever, since you're traffic cones and I'm going to say bus and we're going to kind of go there. I'm telling you, like, I had my little epiphany moment today when I should have been paying attention to this reading program and I wasn't. And I wrote some notes down and I wanted to end this show. Although I'm like so impressed with your feistiness, like it's good. I'm enjoying it tonight.
Okay, well, I'm glad you are, and I hope hope the listeners are too, because the reason I am fired up is because I can't stand seeing my team lose so many friggin' games in a row. Because, I mean, we've hammered the point home so many friggin' times since you and I started doing this show earlier this season. It's gonna be competitive. Just the division alone is gonna be competitive. And I don't know what Trotz or whoever has to do to get it into these guys' heads that this kind of a slip-up is not acceptable. It's not conducive to, hey, I'm gonna make the playoffs. We're gonna make the playoffs. We're gonna get a cushy 1-2-3 seed. No, it doesn't work like that. And I was really hoping this year that they would learn that lesson in the hardest way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might give them the attitude that they need to carry them through once and for all to bust through the second round.
Right.
And I'm going to stop here for a second because I'm being motioned at. Okay.
Chill out.
No. Okay.
You have to go.
Not just yet, but we're going to wrap this up here. Because Mrs. Blue Liner is making one hell of a meal. And so it's getting on. I just want to say, quote, two more things here from the discussion in the room. Let's see, one more quote from Christian Levesque. Defensively, I think the Caps are looking pretty good. It's just the offense or lack of offense that concerns me. And that was one of his last posts. And Bernie Deal also made a pretty relevant comment, I think. And what he said was that the Caps are last in the league in shots allowed. Last in the league. That ain't good. That is not good. But last in the league? That's terrible.
I agree.
And that's got to stop. That has got to stop. And I've made the point many, many times. You cannot give up as many shots as you do, and expect to come out of games the winner. You just can't. And like I said, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I don't know what it is about this team. I don't know what to do. I don't know how the message is going to get through. Okay? Somebody in the media has to start asking the tough questions. What is it about you guys where you cannot come back from a layoff, or you cannot take the game seriously enough when it's on the line, where you treat it with the magnitude it deserves? And yeah, but not unlike the federal government, there are problems that come up, but can be fixed, and can be fixed quickly, thank God. So all is not lost. There's reason to wring hands and be all frustrated. And I know a lot of you out there are, but this is a problem that can be fixed. Somehow this team has lost its consistency. I don't know how. I'm not a coach. I'm not even a sports journalist. I'm just a fan that's been watching this bloody team for over 40 years of my life. And so I know what's coming, and I think I know how to fix it, but again, I'm not a coach. This team needs a serious boot in the ass. And no, before anybody starts thinking it, it's not going to come through a trade. And it's not going to come by firing the coach. It's got to come from within. And if it doesn't come from within, this team's going to go nowhere. So, that's my take on that. Anna, do you have any final thoughts?
I did, but I'm not going to interrupt your dinner.
No. Go right ahead. We've got some time.
No.
Go right ahead.
Enjoy your evening, and hopefully we just see some major improvements this week.
If you honestly had some opinions to proffer.
I do, but I don't need interrupt.
Then let's
your
hear
dinner.
Them. You're not interrupting anything just yet. Let's hear it.
Okay. You really want to know?
Yes, I want to know. Yes, I want to know. Go for it.
Okay.
You have a say, too.
I had a pro and a con list, and I told you this earlier this evening. And so my con list was that, you know, that they were really seriously sucking with missing too many passes and shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
My pro. At the other, that I have to say, Barry Trotz has been quite brilliant with changing up the lines. And why? I know people are frustrated with it and people don't know what to expect, but that is brilliant coaching on his end. Why? Because the other team doesn't know what to expect. When you go into a game and any game, you know, basketball, baseball, football, hockey, whatever it is, and you know exactly who you are going up against, and we'll just stick with hockey, in every line, every position, who's this, you get to follow that person and what they're doing and the chemistry on that line. He's mixing it up so no one knows what to expect. I think on a coach's end, that's quite brilliant. Other people find it frustrating. But I think you need to give him a chance because he's up to something. He knows what he's doing. Have we seen remarkable play? No. There's been some lines that I haven't been totally crazy about, but I will tell you, you know, bumping Wilson up, bumping Vrana up, you know, Barakowski's back, you got Smith-Pelly. Like, there are just some good things going on with the Caps. And then I'm just going to go back to, if I had to be a coach in the locker room, which I would never be because if I was a coach, I would have to say that what it has to come back to is the communication and the chemistry within the players. We have lost a little bit of the chemistry because the lines are a little bit different, But I feel like the entire team as a whole is awesome. They all support each other. It's that you've got veterans, you've got rookies, it's there's a good thing going on there. But it's the communication that is killing this team right now. With the amount of missed passes yesterday, it was fucking annoying. But I will say on a happy, so I got two other things that I'm gonna let you go enjoy your amazing dinner. We're still in the lead. That is something that needs to be emphasized in the locker room. It needs to be emphasized to the fans. We are still in the lead. We need to, we're done over that break. Hopefully Thursday night we'll redeem ourselves in Florida. But we are still in the lead, and we still need to roll with it, and we still need to back this team 100%. And that's on a Pats or did I just say Pats? What the fuck? I am just like all defending Super Bowl people right now, but I feel the same way. Lastly, and I know you will 100% be on board with this, even though you didn't mention it before, but I know you would have if there was time. William Cody. You got a 14-year-old leukemia, cancer survivor, so he's in remission, but unfortunately still has to go through chemo until 2019, and they made him one of the Make-A-Wish players, however they wanted to do it. He was like 3 days he was able to become a Caps player, and the boys on our team treated him like royalty, and I wouldn't have expected anything else, and I thought it was amazing, and his jersey and his smile and everything that he had a chance to experience was exactly what I don't know. I don't want to get all mushy about it, but, they made this kid's day. It was the 3 days, but you know what? That's going to change his life. He's going through some absolutely fucking leukemia. So I was proud to say that, I loved every moment of seeing, William Cody. It was awesome. I don't know if you had a chance to see it.
I did.
Sweetheart of a kid, 14 years old, going through this, I couldn't imagine. And, everybody in Washington just embraced him, all the players, and it was awesome to see. And, here we are on social media talking about it, and you got some, fucking douche asshat out there talking about, why are we making a big deal about this? Every team and every city does this. Really? Well, thanks for being a fucking Debbie Downer. Anyways, so that was my one little annoyance of who can take away a story of a amazing 14-year-old who's going through leukemia and be a dick about it on social media. This guy obviously can, but I was so proud of the Caps and the whole team, the franchise. The fans, I would like to end it on that.
Okay. And that I appreciate that. And yeah, I did see some of that. I did read up on that story, and that was absolutely great. So again, these guys are good people. They serve their community well, and that's why they are constantly deserving of our praise all the time. But
we're going with it. I'm going to shut you down right there. We're not going to talk about anything negative. We're moving forward. They are a great team. They're great guys. They're amazing fans. We love them. And we're ending the podcast on that note. And go enjoy your dinner. Enjoy your dinner.
Okay, fine.
Sign off. Thank you, fans. Thank you, listeners. Go Caps. Contact us, blah, blah, blah.
GLHALLOWED at yahoo.com for email. blueliner77.podbean.com is the site. Anox49 on Instagram, I believe. No.
Aquanox49.
Okay. Aquanox49 on Instagram.
Yep. Anox49 on
Twitter.
Twitter.
Okay.
Which I don't get messages anyway, so I'm whatever. I'm putting it out there. We'll see what happens.
That's part of the reason why I kind of felt forced to read from the room quotes, because we haven't gotten a whole lot of emails lately, if any. And so
I won't tell you what I received, but go ahead.
But if I'm trying to convince everybody that they do have a voice on the show, so do please email. Don't be afraid. We'll probably read your tweet on air, tweet or email on air, and even if we disagree, we'll try to put it in a positive light. But you do have a voice on the show, because at the end of the day, this is for the Caps fan. So with that, we're finally going to stop it here. I am going to get some sustenance, as you keep on pleading with me to do. And so just want to make one final appeal to all our Caps fans everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, what?
Just end it.
I'm about to. Please, whatever you do, make sure you use your left and right turn indicators while driving, and let's go Caps.
Such a smart ass. Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.